Hello and welcome to Real Chat with Kat, the podcast dedicated to igniting your entrepreneurial spirit and empowering you to conquer new horizons. In this podcast, we chat with inspiring entrepreneurs on their journey to success through some amazingly insightful and expansive conversations. These episodes thrive on thought-provoking chats where our guests fearlessly explore their path to success, sharing their experiences, failures, and triumphs. No topic is off limits as we deep dive into the talked about and not so talked about pieces it takes to build a business, overcome limiting beliefs, deal with personal struggles, and everything in between that shapes our lives and our businesses. I'm your host, Kat Polsonelli, creator and founder at The Lotus Effect, where we believe that success is not just about strategies and tactics, it's about cultivating a powerful mindset and creating customized business operations that align with you and your true purpose. Whether it's mastering time management, improving productivity, enhancing leadership skills, or simply fostering a growth-oriented mindset, we'll provide you with the tools and strategies to flourish in both your business and personal life. I'm so excited to have you join us today in this episode, so get ready to feel empowered and inspired as we learn together and from one another on how to rise above challenges, break through limitations, and unlock our full potential. Let's dive in. Hello, hello, everyone, and thank you so much for joining me today on this episode of Real Chat with Kat. I am so excited to have you here with me today, and I have an awesome guest that I'm super excited to bring to you guys. So, Rob Sainer, do us a favor and tell us who you are, what is it you do, and what got you into your space?
Sure. Rob Sainer, I'm a certified executive and small business coach, and I got certified through Focal Point, so I work with Focal Point. My background, I spent 25 years leading manufacturing operations, got my start really in continuous improvement, like lean methodology, Toyota way, kind of working with GE for the first 13 years of my career. And then as I moved into leadership positions, kind of learned a few things. I learned, like, if you want to be really good at something, you have to do one of three things. You have to be smarter than everyone else, which is really hard to do. So that wasn't a great strategy for me. You have to work harder than everyone else. And I always tell people I like my family. Most of the time I like my family, but so working harder than everyone else and spending more hours at work, that wasn't my strategy. And so what I found the other way is that you can help create really great teams. And if you have really great teams, you will, you know, they will help you excel because they will excel. And so even though I'm a natural introvert, that was kind of what I found. And it also happens to go along great with the continuous improvement lean mindset. And so when I put those things together, that's what I did. And so I did that for 25 years. I worked for several companies helping them turn around or grow their manufacturing operations. And when it became time for me to be thinking about another role, I had been talking to another Focal Point coach named Todd, and he had been trying to get me to coach for a couple of years. And it's just something that's a passion of mine. I've coached my kids in day soccer. I was always a leader, but so a coach is something that I identify with, and it just seemed like a great point for my career, and that's led me here.
Which I love. And we've had the privilege of having an off-camera conversation a little bit about leadership and what that looks like as well. So I'm super excited to kind of dive into some of those pieces today too, because, you know, especially with your background and everything that you've done, it's so interesting to think of leadership, which I feel like is becoming more of a buzzword, where before it was boss and employee. Or just team. And like, that was kind of that, like that was it. Right. And somebody led it. But for a lot of years, and I feel like, especially still in the corporate world, even if you have a team, right, in a corporate setting, you don't necessarily have a leader. You have someone that bosses that team around, that is in control, essentially, right, of them. And being able to see that in such a different light and create leadership, which, like you just said, is a different mindset as well for the way that you think of things, how you deal with other people, is, to me, is like so wonderful to see, especially with, you know, my background in corporate as well in the medical field and being treated that way. So I love that you jumped into this and it was a natural progression of something you already enjoyed as well.
Yeah, I think most people get into leadership because they're really good at something, and that something has nothing to do with leading, right? You're good at whatever it is, right? You know, if you become a coach in a sports world, it was because you were a really good performer in that sport. If you come, whatever it is, right? But it has nothing to do with leading. And then to make matters worse, most of our role models in leading, right? We learned to lead are in the United States. You had World War I, World War II. People went off, came back, and they learned leadership through the military. And where you might need to lead in a certain way when you have to make very critical decisions, life or death decisions, and you have to respond, right? You know, when you're in a battle, there's no time for you to like question, hey, is that the best way? Let's pull a meeting together in an hour. Let's talk about this decision you're making and then let's go. You can't do that. But in a business setting where you've got a lot of people out there and you're trying to organize and you're trying to come up with the best long-term strategy, it's not necessarily the most effective strategy. There are places for that kind of command and control strategy, but overall for the long-term growth, if you want your business to scale, at some point you will have to let go of that strategy. I love the way we're moving now, right? Culture is being talked about even more nowadays than it used to be. Leadership strategy is taught, right? We want more leaders and we want managers. I mean, everyone puts their own definitions to those words. So, you know, it can be tricky, but how do you more effectively lead people and allow them to grow is what's going to help you scale for sure.
Definitely. And I think that people have to understand as well, when you're in that leadership role, that there are things that you have to let go of, things that need to be delegated off. I think that that is where that mindset shift piece comes in. And I'd love your take on that as well, of you go from kind of running all the things, being in charge of all the things, or making sure that you have control, almost like project management, right, over all the things. But when you get to a certain point and you're like, okay, we've got to do this, which means I have to step out, being able to let go of that ego, that different mindset, or that control, which for a lot of us is that stability, right? Because we're like, okay, if I know that if I've got this, it's getting done, kind of a thing. But like you said, in order to grow, there has to be that space for other people to step into their zone of genius in that field.
Yeah, I mean, if you go to a party or you go to a networking event or whatever, and if you walk around enough, you are going to run into a leader who's going to be talking about how they just went on vacation and they were on their phone their whole time, or they're answering emails, or they can't go out on a date with someone because they got to answer emails, right? Like their whole life is interrupted. They can't make the game because they got to be on a phone call or go to a game. You know, I have children. I know you have children. If you go to a sporting event or a recital or whatever your children are into, you're going to look around and you're going to see people on their phone, right? Like who are they talking to, right? You're there. And so why is that? Then you start digging in and you find out, one, typically they're very specific. People will do, you need to do things my way. I was successful doing it this way, so I need to make sure all my team does it this way. Mm-hmm. And whenever someone brings them a problem, they solve it for them. Hey, I'm having trouble with this, do it this way. Hey, I'm having trouble with this, do it that way, right? So what you're doing is you're training your team not to make decisions. You're not allowing them to learn how to solve their own problems because you're solving their problems for them. And then you get upset because every time they have a problem, they're calling you to say, hey, what do you want me to do? Because they're not allowed to think on their own, but you're mad at them for not thinking alone. Well, you have to develop systems and processes to develop that in your teams, right? You have to have a system that says, no, when someone comes to you and says, I'm having this problem, what should I do? Your first question to me has to be, well, what have you done so far? What do you think you should do? Right? What ideas have you already generated? Right? And so if you have that, now that makes the person start to think. And now, you know, if they know every time they're going to come to you, you're going to ask them, hey, what have you thought about? They're at the very least, they're going to learn, I better come with some ideas. And sometimes they might just be like, I'm not going to go to you. He's just going to ask me what I want to do and tell me to go do it. And then they go do it. And guess what? Now you can go to your kid's event and not have to answer the phone because they can take care of that thing.
Yeah. Oh, I love that too. Like, that is so beautifully put. And what's so funny is when you were talking about not giving the answers right off the rip, right? Like a lot of us do. My immediate thought was, you should so be doing that with your family as well. Right. Like, we were talking about kids, and my boys are 19 and 15. And that was something that, especially over the last couple of years, I really have realized is, while I come at a standpoint from like, I just want to help them so that they'll make good choices, I also had to remember that I am not teaching them to think on their own, which, you're so right. This happens in business all the time. We hire these great people that are like, I can do all these things. And then because they don't do it in the way that we are used to seeing it, we're like, no, 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 that's not right. Or you should change this, or this needs to be done, versus being able to be open. And I found that that was the same way with my kids as well, was I had to start learning to ask those questions. So when my kids would come to me and be like, Mom, what am I supposed to do? I'm like, what do you think you should do? What have you tried to do? Well, I don't know. Okay, well, let's think about it for a second. Because I was, for the longest time, so quick to be like, this is how you handle it. This is what you want to do. You want to reach out to this person. And I'm like, I am not teaching them independent skills, right? And that's essentially what you want with a team that is running things for you, is you want them to have the dependency because they love the team and the value that they get to bring to the team and where they get to grow. And you also want someone on your team that is fully able to be independent to take care of those things. So like you said, you can enjoy things with your family or your kids or your spouse or whatever the case may be. You're in vacation time. Oh my goodness, that drives me crazy when people don't enjoy their vacation time and they post all these pictures about, I got this done while I was on vacation. Why? That's the whole point of vacation, is to separate from work, not bring it with you.
Yeah, it's a failure of leadership. Okay. And I mean, there's going to come times where there's something is really critical and you can have a 5-minute conversation while you're on vacation. It doesn't interrupt it, just to be clear.
Of course.
If you're on the phone all the time, it's a failure of leadership because you haven't developed your team to be able to handle those issues while you're not there. Mm-hmm. And to your point about parent, absolutely. I wish I was better at it, right? Because I think it's harder to apply to my kids than it is to anybody else.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I was growing up, you woke up, you went outside. And you were like, my parents were like, be home for dinner or you're in trouble. And so you just ran off, you ate lunch wherever you were at. Hopefully someone else's parents would throw you some scraps of food, you'd eat, right? But anything that came up, you had to figure that out because you weren't going to go home. And, or even in my case, my parents might be working, so figure it out, right? So we had to do that. And then, you know, when I came into the workplace, I had some concept of how am I going to solve a problem. Now, hopefully I've gotten better at that over time, but I think that's, you know, something I need to do a better job at with my kids, is preparing them. How are you going to solve problems as you go through life? And so, you know, it's very similar to the workplace. Are you preparing your team to solve problems, or are you solving them all for them? And, you know, we are all helicopter parents now, right? So that's like the trend. We hover over them. We're worried about any danger. And, you know, one of the impacts of that, I think, is we aren't being as effective at teaching our kids to solve problems. And then we take that into work and it's like, no, do things my way. And you know, don't solve a problem, because if you mess up, I will yell at you and I will make, you know, I will embarrass you in front of the whole team. Now, that's not the conscious thought that's going through the leader. That's what the impact is. That's what you're doing. And then you don't have a team of problem solvers. So everything has to come through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I have an interesting question too, because, and again, I know that, again, we got to have a little bit of a conversation off camera. So I have a little bit of an advantage, but one of the things that we had talked about as well was, you know, for a lot of people, especially, like you said, people that you tend to work with, they are in a leadership position, that it isn't necessarily that they are a bad leader, or that they're more of a boss, but they don't realize where they could improve on their side. And the immediate reaction is, my team just can't get it together. My team just can't handle it. Would you say, when you're dealing with that, that has a lot to do with their mindset and some part of their team? Or do you see that, you know, the team has the capabilities, but maybe they're not in the right role and the leader just hasn't recognized that?
I think it can be both. I think typically, again, a leader gets into a leadership role because they're really good at something. I'm a really good welder. Now, I'm not actually a really good welder, but I'm a good welder. And then I become a supervisor of welding, right? Well, that skill set of becoming a good welder doesn't necessarily help you become a leader of welders, other than you have a lot of technical knowledge. And I said, you know, if you look at a sports coach, and I'm going to have to change soon who I talk about, but you look at, like, for many, the greatest basketball player of all time was Michael Jordan. You know, now people are probably going to say LeBron or Kobe or whatever, but Michael Jordan became a coach, and he was a bad basketball coach. He wasn't very good because he's like, hey, everybody, just do what I did. Go out, score 40 points. Three of you score 40 points, we win the game by easy, right? Just go do that. I'm exaggerating, obviously, but you know who is a good basketball coach is Steve Kerr, who was a guard who played with Michael Jordan, didn't have nearly the ability, had to learn how to fit into the offense and know what his role was and how to do that. And so then now, as he becomes a leader, he understands what all the different roles are and how to teach them. So when you become a leader because you're really great at something, you haven't necessarily learned, like, you've learned what worked for you. But what worked for you isn't necessarily going to work for everybody else. Everybody else has to learn how to solve their problems, how to do what their best approach is to solving a problem. And by the way, when you get a bunch of people coming with different ideas, but all going in the same direction, you're going to get a much better result than a bunch of people who all think exactly the same. And that's proven statistically. I don't have the data in front of me, but that's proven statistically, right? So, you know, diversity is proven to be better than single-mindedness, right? Trying to recruit everyone to be just like you. So,
yeah.
So that's why, you know, I think I got off onto a tangent there, but that's why, you know, it's so important for the leader. Now, you can occasionally have people that just aren't in the wrong seat or in the right seat. Sorry. You know, they might not, but then we have to ask why, right? Do they clearly understand what is being expected? Do they buy into what is being expected? You know, have they been trained to be able to do what we want them to do? And then lastly, some people, you know, do they have the ability? I find the problem is mostly in those first three. You know, have we clearly communicated in a way they understand what we're trying to do and why? And then have we communicated how, you know, in general, we would like that to be done? And if we do all those things, most people are going to perform. You know, people don't wake up. There's probably a few. And so someone will, like, email you in or whatever. And they'll be like, yes, sir, I know this person who does it. But people don't wake up and say, you know what, I'm going to go into work today. I'm going to cause a bunch of trouble. I'm going to, you know, upset my boss and get fired.
Yeah.
Like, that's not what people want to do. They want to go in and do a good job and be rewarded for it and see the company be successful so that they have job security, right? That's the overwhelmingly majority of people. And so if there's a gap, why? And then if you do find someone who just doesn't have the ability, well, now we have to make some decisions. Is there another seat in the company where they can excel at? Do we have to have our roles aligned? You know, if the person has everything you want, they're skilled, they're knowledgeable, they have great attitude, they align with your company values, well, maybe the way you drafted your organization can be adjusted to take advantage of this person. And if those things aren't there, then maybe you have to say, okay, we've got to find a better fit for you. You know, we've got to find somewhere where you can go excel, which may not be in the company. But I think that's the small percentage of the solution.
Yeah. And I love this so much because this is something that I talk with my clients as well, you know, with the entrepreneurs, especially for those that are looking to hire people on to be a part of their team. And I want to backtrack to the first thing that you were kind of talking about, which is that you don't necessarily want someone that's just like you, right? Because if you are a leader and you are leading your business and your entrepreneurship, if you try to bring someone in just like that, one, they're probably only going to be happy for a little while before they want to excel and be like, well, I can do what you're doing, right? But I love the part of finding people that are diversified. I am really big on that. That is something I talk with my clients about a lot. Like, if you know that you work this way, for instance, I had a real estate agent that I worked with, and she was what I called my brain dumper. So like all the ideas came out like all at once and everything, right? But the person that we had in the role for her admin was very organized, was very detailed. Everything was task oriented. And while she was fantastic for that role, their communication was completely off. Mm-hmm. Right. So the brain dumper expected her to be just like her. And the tasker was like, I have no clue what on earth you're doing. There's no timelines. There's nothing. So it's being able to understand those differences as well and play upon them to that person's advantage. Yeah. And I think that that is huge, whether it's in entrepreneurship, small businesses, corporate offices, anywhere in that capacity, is being able to see where you're not that great of, put someone in that is good at it, and understand their perspective and how they tick at least a little bit so that your communication comes across united.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what, when you're talking there, it's just, so one of the tools we use at Focal Point a lot, I use it a lot every time I start with a client, is DISC. We do a couple of different assessments, but DISC is part of it. Okay. And so, you know, without knowing more about the people you're talking to, it could be awfully wrong, but it sounds a little bit like the first person was probably a high I, likes to talk, likes to think out loud, likes to yep. think outside their head, right? And the other person might have been a high C. And so, you know, loves to get in the data, very organized, right? And so understanding all those is really important. I think a lot of people take DISC and they understand about themselves more, which is great, right? If you can understand who you are and how you like to communicate, that's great. Mm-hmm. The real power comes in understanding who everybody else is, but that you can adapt to them. And then once you can adapt to others and be comfortable communicating in the ways other people like to communicate, now you can be a lot more comfortable about hiring people who have, you know, are different than you. And that's really mm-hmm. important, because if you're a high C, you love to analyze things, but sometimes you need someone to pull it out and say, look, you guys just got to make a decision. You can't yeah. stare at the numbers. They're not going to change. At some point, you got to make a decision, right? Or, you know, you might have a high D who you're going to have to at some point say, hey, you got to stop. We can't just change every 5 seconds because you think that's going to make us better. You've got to, whoa, let's give it a little time here so we can hone in on it, right? Mm-hmm. So you got to know all these different, you know, you got to have the different people on the team to help you to make a stronger team where you're going to get better, right? And so, you know, I'm a high D, high C. And so very task oriented. And I had to learn as a leader, right? Because leader is about people, right? So I'm all about task. When I walk into a room, every instinct I have is to say exactly like why I'm there. So I'll walk in the room, say, Kat, I need this and blah, 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 right? Most people on the planet want you to start with, hey, how are you doing? How was your weekend? Or how's the family going, right?
Yep.
And so you have to learn as a leader who likes what. Because if you know, I had an employee, I needed to talk about her family for like 15, 20 minutes before I could get into anything, but that was fine, right? We built a relationship. She wanted to have a, you know, that was important to her. It was part of the trust building process, right? And so then we would get into what we needed to do. Then I had another employee, and like he was the opposite. I would come in there and say, hey, what's going on with this? What have you thought about that? How are we going to do that? Okay, now how's your family? It's just opposite, right? And so, you know, someone like me, if you walk into my office, I'm going to be thinking, until you tell me why you're there, I'm thinking, why are you? So it's hard for me to connect mm-hmm. and say, yeah, my family's good. Your family's good. Why are you here? Right. But you have to learn to adapt to the other people. And I know I'm weird, so I adapt in that way and then figure it out around it. But I think it's important, right?
Yeah, it's super important. And I love that DISC is what you guys focus on. So I learned about DISC back when I started in real estate. That was one of the things that they focused on. And it was a way for you to be able to mirror and match the person that you were talking to. And yeah. I like wholeheartedly was like, ooh. And what I found was really interesting was, depending on the role that I was in, your DISC could slightly change. Mm-hmm. So I naturally am a DI. But my S and my C are actually very close to my D and I. So I can flip very easily depending on what is needed for me. However, for a really long time, especially when I was in the medical field and I ran the administration area, I was very much like you're saying, like, I was just like, okay, this is what we're doing. This is how we're doing it. This is how I'm training you. I need you to go do this, 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 and that. Right. And I did have to learn same thing. I did have to learn that, like, you have to conversate with people occasionally. And then tell them to do things, because we see it as, I'm just asking you to get it done because I'm ready to move on to the next thing. Where what I found out with me, especially working in the medical field with a lot of women, was I was coming across as very rude. I was coming across as very egotistical. And I'm like, that is not what I was doing at all. But I didn't realize that there was that disconnect. So I love that you bring that up. What is it? Tony Robbins does DISC. As well. And that is always, I've used that one before. The company I was with had something slightly different, but for anyone else that's out there that's interested in trying to figure that out, that might be a really interesting one to check out. So it's kind of like similar, but not as in depth to like Enneagrams and all of that stuff. So in case anyone is like, what in the heck are you guys even talking about? DISC is D-I-S-C. So, and each one has characteristics, which you can have multiple characteristics, but generally your first one is the one that comes across when you meet people. And then the second one is the one that comes across once you get to know someone. But it's very beneficial to understand that. To be honest, it's beneficial to know that with your friends and your family as well. Learning that with my kids and how to conversate in that direction helped a lot with that too, because then I realized that my one that was a little bit more emotional at one period in his life, like I couldn't come across as a hard D, because when I did, it completely broke him down. Mm-hmm. So understanding that outside of your corporate life or your business life is, to me, business and personal completely entangle. And if you learn how to be authentically you, then you notice so many overlapping aspects of both that you really can use in both parts of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. So I love all the assessments, by the way. That's the high C in me. I love them all. The Myers-Briggs or MBTI. Like, I've done the Enneagram. I'm not as familiar with it. The one reason that I like DISC and the coaches I work with like DISC is it is adaptable. You actually can change your DISC profile over time a little bit. You can adapt to others, where your Myers-Briggs, once you're a teenager, that's you. It's a personality thing. I think that's the same as the Enneagram. Someone will correct me, I'm sure, if I'm wrong.
I believe so.
But it's pretty much, that's you. And so as a coach, yes, I think it's good to learn who you are, but I'm here to coach, right? So what we want to do is figure out what ways can we get better results or change the results or get through issues. And so that's why I like this, because it is changeable. And it's funny you say, you know, you apply it to, you know, home and all that, because probably the most common thing I get, so I'll do a in-depth review of somebody's DISC. We'll sit down for an hour and a half and really dig into it. And one of the most common things that I get asked after that is, hey, this is great. Can you do one of these for my spouse? Because once they start to understand their communication style, right, then, you know, like, then they want to know, okay, what's my spouse's communication style? How do we communicate better? So any relationship is going to work better if you communicate better, right? That's what having a successful relationship is about. And so as you can understand people, you know, I know I've taken some of the assessments home and I've shown them to my wife and I've said, see, I'm not weird. There must be other people like me, right? Because they have a whole section. So it just helps facilitate that.
It does. It does. And it's so funny that you say that too, because my husband and I actually did that because he's in IT management. So he's C, but it's funny because for when he's in business, it's more that way, but the D still comes out and he's like, no, I'm more of a, like an SC. And I'm like, but when he's doing his project management, it flips. And it's like, he understands where that role is. And so that's where it takes precedent, which is really interesting to see. And I do the same thing. I just didn't realize that was what I was doing. But it's, I love the different tests.
If you're a DI and he's an SC, and I didn't get if that's what he was, because you, but if that's the case, you guys are having a discussion about what you want to do. And typically a DI, you're like, this is where I want to go. Boom. You're making an answer. You're making a decision and you're off and you're running. And if he, particularly if his high S, if he has a high S, I think you might have said he's a higher C, but they like steadiness. So they really want to understand why we're changing or doing something. And when you're talking with a high S and you pressure them, because I'm a high D too, like my wife is high S. So, hey, let's make a decision. Let's go, let's go, let's go. They'll just say, okay. Or they'll just, right, they'll give you an, but that's not their answer.
Yeah.
They're going to go off and they're going to think about it. And then they're going to come back and they're going to give you their answer. And they need time to do that because that's how their brain works. When you pressure a high S or C to give you an answer right away, you're getting not a good answer from them and an answer they're not committed to. So you have to be, you know, so we've learned, like, I will say, all right, hey, let's do this. And then I'll come back and I'll say, okay, so a week ago, we talked about this. Are you good? Are we ready to go? And then, you know, then we go, right? Because it's just different styles.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love it too, because it all circles back into, like, even when you talk about leadership, even when you talk about understanding people, a lot of it still comes back to communication as well, and really making the time and the effort to understand people and then putting that into play. And that was a huge thing for a lot of my clients that I deal with, and how we hired someone and then teaching them how to have those continued conversations, because it's still your business. And you can allow other ideas to trickle in that may have been things you never thought about, right? And it's the same thing in my personal life as well, with the friends that we hang out with, or even with my teenagers now, learning to communicate in a way that matches up to the other person just makes things flow so much better, so much easier. And the miscommunication doesn't happen as much. Or if it does, there's space for that because you're learning to ask certain questions to understand that perspective, versus what a lot of people tend to do is, this is my perspective, this is how you should see it, I don't understand why you don't get it.
Yeah. And just kind of relating that back, what I often advise leaders to do, we get to a leadership role and we're like, oh, great, we get to sit at the head of the table. We get to, right, we get to set the agenda. We get to kick the meeting off, right? It's ours. And what I often invite leaders to do is, yeah, you're still going to set the agenda for the meeting, but sit in the middle of the table. Have somebody else lead the meeting, right? You don't need to be talking the whole time. If you're talking the whole time, what everyone is finding out in that room is what you know. Well, if you're a leader, why do you need to find out what you know? You hope you already know what you know. Right? it's what's in your head. So as you're being a leader, what you really need to find out is what everybody else knows, because that's how you can become effective. And so if you're standing in front of the room, you're doing the talking, then guess what's happening? People are asking you questions. And if people are asking you questions, then you're answering the question. So you're finding out more about what you know. Doesn't necessarily mean that they're learning it, because depending on how you're answering it and communicating, some are learning and some are not learning it.
Mm-hmm.
But you're learning that you know something, right? But if as a leader, you let someone else lead that meeting, right? You could rotate it through your team. You can have somebody who does it, who's just organized, right? Who can keep us on time and everything. Now, when people are talking, you're asking questions. Hey, what was your thought process here? Why did you do that? That's interesting. Looks like you're having great results. How did you get there? How can we copy that, right? Looks like you're having some struggles here. What's going on? Anyone else have any ideas on how we can get better? Now you're finding, you're asking the questions and the team is answering. So now you're finding out what they know. And you're also getting ideas. And you're also allowing other people to talk without having to worry about interrupting. So I think that's really critical to how we lead. We don't have to lead from the front, right? We can lead from within the team and let them shine.
Ooh, I really like that. That is a really neat perspective. And I never thought about that, about letting other people lead just to get the different perspective. That's super. Ooh, I'm using that one. That's coming. That's...
Well, and you know, you're a high D, I'm a high D. If you look at executive teams, or you know, they're weighted a little bit more high D, which means we like to control. We like to, you know, we like to be out in front. And so if you, as a high D, if you're in a leadership role, you're going to take take control of that meeting more, right? And what you're doing is you're pushing down other thought, and you're a high D I. So I's like, you know, you naturally, you want to dominate the conversation, right? You know, I'm probably talking too much. You're like, Rob, shut up. You know, this is my show. I need to talk more. So, you know, high I wants to talk more. High D wants to control. So you do get a lot of leaders who are high DI. And so then they wonder, well, why am I not getting ideas from everyone? Well, shut up, take a breath, let them talk, right? And then you'll get more ideas.
I love that. I have to tell myself to shut up all the time, so it's fine. I've learned over the years. I'm like, oh, you're talking way too much. Shh. I have an amazing group of women that I'm a part of, and we have this wonderful mastermind that's held every Monday. It's a group called Her Nation, and I am always giving feedback to a lot of the ladies that are in there, and I love that. But there have been several times where I'm like, ooh, okay, stop. Okay, ooh, let's. Okay, you've made your point. Stop making your point and allow someone to reverberate. So I have learned to, if I catch myself talking a lot, that I have to ask questions back to the person that I'm speaking with so that the conversation can continue. And I haven't kind of shut the whole thing down, because you're so right. And I used to do that when I was in the medical field. I let it, I took care of it. This is what we did. And then later I'm like, I don't understand what your problem is. Like, why didn't you come to me? And that, so looking back at it now, I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. And those high C's and the high S's, they're the introverts, right? So they're sitting back and they're listening to it all. And they're comfortable because you're talking and they don't have to talk, which is great. And they're just listening, right? But what they're not doing is telling you what they think. So they're listening and you're thinking, oh, they must agree. No, they're just, they're learning, right? They're understanding what you do, right? And so, and then they'll go off and they'll process it, and then they'll come up with what they think about it. And so you've got to allow them time to A, analyze data and process it outside of a meeting. So if you need a big decision and you've got S's and C's on your team, don't come with the data, make them see it for the first time and then expect the decision in the same meeting. Give them the information they need, let them process it, then come to the meeting. And also you got to pause, right? You have to encourage them. Hey, what are your thoughts on it? Because they have them.
Yeah.
But they're, you know, they like to collect data. So they're going to let you talk so they can collect more and more data, and you have to pull it out of them.
Yeah. It makes so much sense. Oh, I love this so much. And I, like I said, I love the disc, and I that has definitely been one of my favorites, just because depending on the situation that you're in and where you're at on it, things can kind of change or take over and you can see it flow. So, oh, Rob, thank you so much for this conversation. This has been wonderful. These are the things that get me so excited. And then I'm like, oh crap, time's almost up. So as we wrap up this conversation, one thing that I always love to ask all of my guests is, do you happen to have a quote or a piece of advice you'd like to leave the audience with?
I should have a piece. I have a famous quote, but or a favorite quote, but I'm not going to use it. I think just having what we're saying, it's, my piece of advice is take the time to get to know, if you're a leader of a team or even just on a team, take the time to get to know how everyone else likes to communicate. If you can do disc profiles for people, that's great, because it gives you a report to do it. But understanding how everyone else likes to communicate and what they're good at and what they're not allows you to position people in the team to do their best. And that's going to give you the best result. So, and then as a leader, instead of giving you a quote, I'm going to tell you, be quiet. Let your team talk.
Perfect advice. Don't worry. There's plenty of us that need to hear that. Rob, thank you so much for that. And I love that. That's definitely something to focus on, to remember. And again, across the board, right? Business and personal, that can be so powerful in your life and well-round things. So tell everybody then, how can they follow you, connect with you? How can they be in your world?
Sure. You can find me on LinkedIn. There's not too many Robert Sainers out there. It's S-O-E-H-N-E-R. It's a weird name. So you can find me on LinkedIn. You can email me at rsainer, again, R-S-O-E-H-N-E-R @focalpointcoaching.com.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Rob. And of course, we'll have all that information in the show notes. It'll be super easy for you guys to find him, connect with him, and be a part of his world. So Rob, again, thank you so much for this conversation, especially on leadership and everything.
Yeah, thank you for having me on.
Yeah, you are so welcome. And to everybody else out there, I hope you were taking notes. I know that there's so many of us, whether you're in the entrepreneurial world or you're in corporate, you're in small business, or honestly, just trying to run a family, leadership and understanding other people's perspectives and the way that they come across and how they communicate is so important. And I promise you, it was a game changer, not only in my business, but in my personal life as well, especially with my kids and the ways that they've changed over the years of starting to understand how they need to be spoken to. So, I hope that you guys got tons of information from this one. And don't forget, until next time, do one thing positive for someone each and every day and see the difference that it makes in your life. So until next time, have a fantastic day. Hello again, and thank you so much for being a part of the podcast today. If you enjoyed this episode and it brought tons of value, we ask that you please share, like, and subscribe. Your support means the world to us and helps us to reach even more inspiring entrepreneurs who can benefit from these powerful conversations. If you haven't already, be sure to leave a review on your favorite podcast platform, as this feedback is an amazing gift that fuels our growth and helps us to continually improve this podcast. Looking for an extra dose of inspiration and empowerment? Then be sure to connect with me on social media. You can find me at The Lotus Effect, where I share valuable resources and tips while sharing my own journey of being an entrepreneur. And if you're interested in learning more about my coaching programs and services, be sure to check out my website at the-lotus-effect.com. Once again, thank you so much for being a part of Real Chat with Kat. Your presence and support makes all the difference. Remember, whether you find yourself in the depths of the mud or on the path of growth, we all have a unique journey. And just like the lotus, some of us start in the dirtiest of mud, yet as we rise and grow, we blossom into something beautiful, unique, and truly one of a kind. To all of my visionaries out there, keep rising and growing as you create your own Lotus Effect.